Hey everyone, how's it going? I'm Nina. Welcome to .NET Comp. So, I'm Nina Vaden. I'm a program manager on the Xamarin platform. And our goal today is to learn about some really cool new features in Xamarin Forms. Newish features in Xamarin Forms. But, all right, before we start building stuff, I want to tell you a story. So, I got to spend Memorial Day weekend in one of my favorite places in the world, a cabin on an island in the middle of the Rangeley Lakes area of Maine. It's absolutely gorgeous there. And really, there's only one thing wrong with the place, which is that no one I go there with knows how to make a decent cup of coffee. And obviously, to anyone who knows me well, like, this is a total deal breaker for me, right? So this had to be fixed. So every morning, I would wake up half an hour before anyone else to grind my fresh, medium roast, single source, third wave Costa Rican beans through a 19th century crank grinder so we could all drink something reasonable. And yes, I drew that picture about 5 minutes ago because apparently I can't use anything with a brand. So I hope you like it. All right, I'm telling you this story for two reasons. One, because the app we're working with today is called the Coffee Appreciator. And I want you to know that it is so much more than a demo app. It's a lifestyle choice. And second, I think that making a great mobile app is like making a great cup of coffee. Often we feel like there's two extremes, right? Ah, sorry about that. Where were we? There we were. Often we feel like there's two extremes, right? There's either you spend a lot of time and money making something beautiful and custom, like grinding your beans by hand, to use our metaphor. Or you buy instant coffee at the store and drink something that everyone hates. And there's this stigma that anything in the middle, anything that gives you a shortcut, is somehow less than. But I don't think that's true. I think that a tool can exist between these two extremes. A tool that saves me time, but still lets me get things done and make things that I love. And in the world of mobile, that tool, that something, is Xamarin Forms. Xamarin Forms is the electric coffee grinder of mobile development. It gives you the tools you need to make good things faster and more easily. So, what is Forms? Xamarin Forms is a cross-platform UI toolkit that lets you share code across iOS, Android, and Windows devices. And it's built on top of the existing Xamarin iOS and Xamarin Android technologies, which have been around for a while. And Forms does two things really well. First, it allows you to share more code, which means that you get to write less platform-specific code and more code that can be reused across everything. And it also lets you see your user interfaces natively. And what I mean by that is that you see them the way they're meant to look on each platform. So the idea is that you tell the Forms application, I want that thing where you scroll and like pick the dates and stuff. And Forms takes care of making that date picker look and feel like a date picker should on your iPhone, on your Android device, and on your Windows device. So Forms isn't quite write once, run anywhere. It's better than that. A phrase I read and really liked is write once, render natively. And one more thing you should know about Forms. It's free, it's open source, and it's available with your existing Xamarin installation. So that's Xamarin Studio on a Mac or Visual Studio on Windows. All right, so that's all well and good. But why should you use Xamarin Forms? So I've been using all these buzzwords today, like cross-platform and maximizing code share and whatnot. And yeah, they all have very specific meaning inside our industry and so on and so forth, and they sound really impressive. But at the end of the day, what we really mean by all of this fancy talk is that Xamarin Forms saves you time. And you're not grinding your coffee beans by hand anymore, right? So how does it do that? And then it saves you time in the initial implementation because there's less rewriting for platform-specific code. Also, it's a lot easier to maintain. Again, because you have like a single shared code base. And for .NET developers, there's a lot of opportunity for you reusing your existing skills, like MVVM or XAML, et cetera. For .new developers, these things might actually make it more confusing. But you know, you can. I think it still saves you time as long as you take the time to learn it. Okay, so now that you've stuck with me so far, here's the value proposition for our next 40 or so minutes together. Since in some ways I've been tasked with the impossible, which is to make a talk that is approachable for new Xamarin Forms users, but also valuable to existing Forms users. Here's what I have to offer you. As a Xamarin PM, I get a really fun, interesting perspective on the things that we make. And also a perspective on what makes our tools valuable. And I've noticed that there's some really great features out there that don't get used nearly as much as they should get used. And that's either because they're newer and people haven't discovered them yet, or maybe we launched them kind of quietly at the time because not everything gets an Evolve keynote. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to give these features some spotlight, right? So, and I think if you're evaluating Forms right now, think of this as a pitch to you, the developer, on all of these awesome, wonderful features that are available to you when you dive in and learn Xamarin Forms. And if you're using Forms already, these are the things that you should be using in your app today that will save you time. So this is my curated list, this roadmap, of all of the things that I think you need to take a look at. And I hope that's valuable to you. Now, what are we making? To help us with this journey, we're going to play with a little applet that I've been working on called the Coffee Appreciator, of course. And it's really quite simple. It works right now on iOS and Android, and I'm working in the UWP version. That's been really fun. And it's got two pages. The first one is a list of coffees. You've probably seen this page at Evolve. And the other is just a simple page that lets you add a photo and some information about the coffee that you're drinking at the time. All right. Enough slides. Let's write some XAML. Mm-hmm. All right. So the XAML previewer, which is what you're seeing in front of you right now, was launched at Evolve. It is still in a preview. It's part of our alpha build right now for Xamarin Studio. And so yeah, please be nice. It's still in preview mode. We are taking bugs. It's Xamarin Studio only. We are working on a Visual Studio version. We're going to have that for you super soon. Get excited. So the XAML previewer gives you instant feedback about what it is that you're doing in your UI, everything that you're building. And the nice thing about it is that you don't have to build and deploy your app every time you want to see change that you've done to your UI. Now, that's really valuable for me because honestly, most of the time that I get to code is on like nights and weekends, so every minute matters. So let's take a look at what we've got here. This is the first page of our app. We got a nice little list view here with some pretty circle images. And I'm using some design time data here. Just have a file that I've updated to bring some data into this so we can render it. And one suggestion that I want to make, recommendation for you if you're using design time data, is use it to stress test your app. Use it to stress test your UI. Because for example, like type in really long strings, type in really short strings, leave empty strings. Use it to actually solve your UI problems while you're developing instead of waiting on actual real-time data to figure those out. So take advantage of that. Okay, so this is the first page of our app. And oh, hello. And this is the second one. So this is like the simplest XAML page ever at the moment. It just got some labels, an entry, an editor, and a button. So what I'd like to do is I want to make this a little bit more interesting for the user. So I'm going to go ahead and add an image. And we'll see. We should see that added in automatically for us. So I'll do image. I'm going to call it a coffee image. We'll make sure that it fills up the entire row here. Oh, I should mention I hurt my finger in a tragic touch typing accident. So I'm only typing with 9 fingers and actively avoiding the letters T and G in this demo. We'll see how that goes. Where was I? OK, and I'll set the source to something static that I have in here so we can see it. And there it goes. It loads up nicely and quickly for us. All right, so this is cool, but it's an existing image of some coffee. And when the user's filling out this form, what would be really nice is if I could give them a way to take their own photos, right? So I'm going to add a gesture recognizer to this image so that when the user taps on it, it'll launch a camera for them, and they'll be able to take a picture. So to do that, I'm going to explain what I'm doing here in just 1 second. There we go. All right. And one more thing. When they tap on the image, when they tap on the image and take an image, I want the picture to change. So instead of making this static, I'm going to bind this to the image property of our coffee. There we go. All right, so let's try and see if this works on Android for us. So while that's building and loading, I want to show you what I'm actually doing here since I didn't explain this code. When the user taps on the image, it's going to call this a take photo command here, which is in our view model. So take photo command. And when this is called, we're actually using this really nice cross-platform camera media plugin that James Montemagno wrote. So I only have to write this camera launching code once, really. And that should come up. There it goes. Can we make this bigger? Yeah. OK, so this is the first screen with our design time data. And here's our second screen. And again, I can add some a name and some notes. And I've added a placeholder image here so that there's an affordance for the user to actually tap the image. So let's go ahead and do that. Oh, hello. So the new Android emulator ships with a thing where you can change your front and back camera to the webcam. So why don't we take this coffee here? That is decent. That is decent coffee. Great. Ship it. All right. So that is a XAML previewer in its full glory. Okay. So we saw that. So the next time-saving feature of forms that I really think not enough people are using at the moment is called XAML compilation. Most people call it XAML C. Some people call it XAML K. And I call it XAML on Fleek. And you should absolutely be turning this on if you haven't yet. So let's take a look at this. What is XAML compilation? So normally, if I'm just writing XAML and I don't have XAML compilation turned on because it's off by default, normally what happens is that my XAML is parsed and inflated at runtime, which means that at compile time when I build, I don't really have to pay a high cost, but I do have to pay that cost at runtime. So what that means, what that translates to, is that my views are a little bit less snappy. Things take a little bit longer to load. Now, with XAMLC enabled, the parsing happens at compile time, and the XAML is turned into IL, intermediate language, and that replaces the initialized component call. So that at runtime, I don't have to pay this cost anymore. So it's a little bit of a longer build, you probably won't notice it much, but at runtime, it's gonna give you a really nice, snappy UI. And one of the other great things about this is that it's delightfully easy to use. Really, all you have to do is add an attribute. You can add this attribute at the assembly level. You'll just say XAML compilation options.compile. You can also set this at the class level. So you can do it, you can turn it on by per class, or you can actually opt out if it's on if it's on at the assembly level and you're like, this class doesn't need it because it's special, you can turn it off. Right, and don't forget to add a reference to xamarinforms.xaml. Okay, what are the benefits of XAML compilation? Well, first of all, your apps just load faster, and it's a slightly smaller app size. And again, it's a little snappier and better for your users. I read somewhere a blog post that someone had done performance testing, benchmarks for their Android Xamarin Forms app. And they found that the runtime cost of inflating views was reduced by about 30% on average with XAMLC. So that's cool. You should use it. And so my favorite one, of course, my favorite reason for using this is that you see your XAML errors at build time. And to see the value in that, I want you to consider a hypothetical scenario that definitely didn't happen to anyone I know. Just imagine that it is 3 a.m. on a Saturday night, and you're coding away on your Xamarin Forms application. You change one control, you substitute one control for a different control, and perhaps maybe you accidentally forgot to remove a property which is not valid in the new control, right? And then perhaps maybe you forget that you made a change in your XAML in the first place. Now, of course, you are a smart, intelligent human being with goals, and so this whole time you're building your app and everything's great. And eventually you decide to run it. And eventually you decide to run it, right? And when you do, is that right? Yeah. When you do, you get an error. Now, of course, if you read this error, you would immediately know what the problem is. But you like to go your own way and decide that there couldn't possibly be anything wrong with your XAML because your XAML is perfect. So long story short, you spend an hour and a half reading about linkers. So don't do that to yourself. Spend time on the things that are fun. Just use this. So let me show you how good it is. So we'll add, I can't talk into this at the same time. So I'm setting XAML compilations options.compile on here. Perfect. And we've introduced an error to our XAML. So we should get a build error. And voila, we do. OK. So hopefully you see the value in a in XAML C. So go enable that, save yourself some time. All right, so I want to talk about custom renders and custom render alternatives and effects, which is new in Xamarin Forms 2.1. But so before we get into that, I want to sort of address a larger aspect of forms that all of these things neatly fit into, which is this idea of customization. All right, so the truth is that we can make an app really quickly using functionality that's already built into Xamarin Forms. But most of us don't want to. We want to build things that are really good quality, right? That have a little bit more customization, a little bit more flavor to them. And when we talk about adding flavor to an app, we're usually talking about adding flavor to controls. We're talking about customizing controls. So what is a control? Because controls are one of the most overloaded words that we've got. And I want to see if we limit the scope to just Xamarin Forms and define it. So in Xamarin Forms, a control is a UI element. And Xamarin Forms ships with a lot of built-in controls for you to use. So all of these are controls. You have your box view and your buttons and your date pickers, et cetera. And these are controls too, they're layouts. And of course, pages are controls as well. So, but for most of us, what's included in forms isn't enough. In fact, often we find ourselves looking to and wanting to extend an existing control or maybe build something totally new, like a custom control. So what are custom controls? It's anything customized that you want to build on, a custom UI element that you want to build. So imagine like a slide-up menu, which used to be very popular 3 years ago when Facebook had it, and now it's not very popular anymore. Or charts, customized charts, or like radio or checkbox buttons. Those are all things that you might want in your app. They're things that make your app better, right? However, writing a custom control in Xamarin Forms is usually not as simple as writing something once and just dropping it into your shared code. Because, again, we have this whole difference between time and quality of the thing that you make, right? And this theme that we've been looking at. One of the things that we love about Xamarin Forms is that our UI elements look and feel at home on each of the platforms. So that means that if you want to make a customized control, you need some code to handle creating it natively on each platform. And that's where renderers come in. So a renderer is the thing that creates the object or objects on the screen on each platform. And Xamarin Forms uses renderers internally all the time. It uses them to render its built-in controls. And you can actually access, there's a really nice mapping of the controls and what renders them, and then what native controls are being shown on each platform. And that's available on our developer portal, developer.xamarin.com, and the guide Xamarin Forms, et cetera. So that's a really good resource. You should use that. Also just gives you a good sense of what's actually happening under the hood in Xamarin Forms. So, okay, what happens in a render? What does it do? A render might just say, give me the native control on this platform, like an iOS button or an Android button or whatnot, and this is what like most of the built-in renders in Forms do. But so the cool part about Xamarin Forms is that you can add to this, right? And in fact, Forms lets you subclass an existing render, so like a vRender or an image render or whatever, and to create your own custom render that you then use to draw your control natively on each platform. And you use this to customize existing controls in Forms, so you can do that, or to define your own controls. So some examples of things you can do with renders. You can make a custom page. I saw a custom login. It's like a control that is a login page that has everything you need for login. That would subclass a page render. And then something like a circle image, which we're going to look at right now, that subclasses the image render. And then there's a you might want to do something like a calendar that'll subpass the view render. So I don't want to spend too much time on the details of writing custom renders, because once you understand what they do, there's so much material out there. They've been around for a while. There's so much material out there and tons of good examples that you can go look at. But I want to give you, for those of you who might be newer or haven't done forms in a while, I want to give you a taste of what we're dealing with here. So minions, can I get my Surface Book? Thank you. Oh, good job, minions. They're laughing back there. All right, where were we? Okay, so with a custom render, the thing we're looking at right now, we're gonna explore a circle image render that James Montemagno wrote a long time ago, which is out there and commonly used, and our app uses it as well. And so to get our taste of custom renders. So with a custom render, I'm gonna wanna add a renderer file for each of the platform-specific projects in my app. I feel very powerful with this thing. This is excellent. All right. By the way, I just got to use a Surface Book for the first time, and I friggin' love it. It's awesome. Good job. Right. So when we're building a custom render, we're going to add a platform-specific implementation for each of the projects, each of the platform-specific projects, that's a mouthful, that we have in our app. So for example, here I have the image circle render it's so cool. So I have the image circle render file in my iOS application, and I also have it, if I can scroll correctly, there it is. I also have it in my Android application. There it is. We don't need that, we'll close it. And the first part of any custom render looks fairly similar on each platform. So at the very top, we're gonna have this this attribute, this assembly attribute called export render. And all this is really doing is that it's saying that this type, this control, the circle image control, is backed by a image circle render. So that's pretty simple. It just says that we're drawing this control using this render. And you know, I'm subclassing image render here. And then I listen to changes on the properties of this element, and so that I know when some rendering work needs to get done. So that's all that's really happening here. So then we get to the rendering work. And this is where things get a little interesting, because this is all Android-specific drawing code. And that's all really nice if you love Android. And I love Android. Actually, one of my favorite things about Android is displayed here is that anytime I want to use a default color, I have the option of using Papaya Whip, which is everyone's favorite Android default color. So anyways, Android can be really delightful. But then when I look at this, you know, we're doing the actual cutting of the image, and then we're drawing some border lines around it, and then we're putting an overlay on it. And suddenly I'm thinking about things like, where exactly is the center of the circle of this border line that we're drawing, so that I can, where does Android place it depending on you know, various factors, and how much of my image on the inside is going to be clipped versus how big it's going to be on the outside. Like, those are all very platform specific details that I have to worry about. And that's sort of one of the hard parts about custom renders, is that the training wheels come off, right? Like, suddenly I'm away from this nice abstraction land where all things kind of make sense and I have to learn only one way of doing them. Suddenly I'm diving really deep into all of these very potentially complicated, sometimes easy, but sometimes complicated aspects of each individual platform. So hey, minions. Thanks. Be ready to flip again in a second. Okay, so now we're in a bind, basically. We want to make beautiful custom applications, but we don't want to spend all this time writing very complex platform-specific code. So can we and how can we do customization faster? What are some custom render alternatives? So luckily for us, we have some. The first is this idea of a composite control. So if for example, I want a control that is made up of other controls. So what I mean by that, I mean, let's say you have a box view, and inside of it, you want to place a label and a button, and you want that to be its own control because you're going to use it all the time. You can do that without writing the custom renders, because in a way, they're already written for you, so why should you have to rewrite it? So you can do that by subclassing content view or templated view and putting that together. And there's docs on how to do that, so you can check that out. But that's called a composite control, and it's a way to get away from writing all this platform-specific rendering code. Now, sometimes you can't get away from it, so to minimize it, there's this idea of a hybrid control, which is you make a composite control, like say a form with an entry and a button, and then you want something customized on it, like a rating control in there. So you can add that in, and then you only have to write the render for that little bit, which is very nice. And another one that's not new, but maybe not used as much as it should be, is behaviors, which are interesting. They're a Forms 1.3 feature, and they're great for adding behavior to existing controls. So the classic example is like validating the input for an entry. So you want it to be email, you want to check that it has the @ and the .com, you can do that. And they can actually be used to create a custom control. Nish did one with where he created a rating control, and there's a blog post on that. So that's really nice. It's very little code for what you're actually getting for it, which is pretty sweet. So behaviors changes, you know, what the control does. But what if we want to change some of the properties of a control without writing a custom render? That's where effects comes in. So effects are a Forms 2.1 feature. And here's some of the reasons you should be using them. Essentially, Jason Smith put in his blog, he defined them as methods for applying runtime changes to renderers for views. So what does it mean? You have a control. It already has renders. And when we run the app, we can add some changes to it. We can set some properties on it. And that's really cool because, again, the amount of platform-specific code you have to write here can be less. It's very nice. But that's not even like the best part of effects. So we can think of them as a custom render light. They're added to existing controls, and they're changing properties, not methods. That's something you should be aware of. So imagine you have a control that's implemented already in Xamarin Forms, let's say a button, and you want to change some properties of that control, like add a shadow to it. That is something that you do use an effect for. And a lot of the examples we have they're visual changes to existing controls, so things that change what they look like, not how they behave. But the changes don't have to be visual. Craig Dunn pointed me to an example that he did for us in the Xamarin docs for accessibility in forms, where he was using effects to apply a label to a control when accessibility was turned on, so that it would then read this out to the user, which is pretty sweet. Like it's a really cool use case for effects. The other very cool feature of effects is that they're what we call composable, meaning that we can add the same effect to two completely different controls, or two or more completely different controls. So let's say we have a drop shadow effect, and we want to apply it to like a label and a button, we can do that. And we only really have to write that effect once, which is pretty cool and time-saving. So some examples of effects. We already saw the add shadow effect. I'm told that there exists a circle effect that the forms team has created for us that would make anything circular. So I'm assuming like a button or even an image. So this could replace our circle image renderer. Sorry, James. And accessibility, as we saw. I asked Jason what the coolest thing he could think of to do with effects was, and he said something that turns all your controls into cats. I don't know what that would look like, but if anyone takes the time to implement that, I will personally ensure that fame and fortune find you. All right. So how do we write effects? There's a few different approaches depending on what it is that you're trying to achieve. And we'll start with, I think, the simplest approach. So the first thing we're going to do is you're adding an effect. Effects are added per platform because they look different on every platform. And you're going to add it to the platform-specific projects of where you want the effects to take place. So you can add it for Android, iOS, UWP, whatever, or you can just add it to one if you only want it on one. So in our platform-specific code, we're going to subclass platform effect. And we'll write our effect in there. And when we do that, we're going to override the onAttached and onDetached methods. So in onAttached, this is what happens when the effect is added to the control. So this is where we'll write the bulk of what the effect is going to look like. And onDetached is what happens when, as you probably guessed, the effect is removed from the control. So in many cases, you're going to leave that empty. But if you have some sort of cleanup that you need to get done, you can do that in onDetached. All right. So the next part, this happens again in your platform-specific project. You're going to add two attributes to your platform-specific project. And the reasoning behind even having these is that they make your effect unique and they make it findable, right? So the first attribute is called resolution group name. It's the unique namespace for the effect. And this is kind of the weird part of this. This is only you're only going to apply this once per project, not multiple times, not on every effect, just once. Okay. The second one, this is going to get on every effect, is the export effect attribute, and that's to help Xamarin Forms find your effect, and includes the type of the effect, in this case our background color effect, and a unique string ID for that. So with those two things in a class, you have your effect written. So the next part is consuming effects. And the simplest way to add an effect to a control is to write the control in C# or XAML, and then add the effect to its effects collection. And there's a couple other ways to do it. So we're going to do entry.effects.add and then add the effect. But there's a couple other ways to do this, and I'll let you explore those on your own if you're interested. I'm definitely showing you sort of the basics of effects here, but there's a lot more that you can do with it. So I really encourage you to check it out. Okay. Minions, get ready. Thanks. They are very good. So I've added sort of the beginning of this. I've added a background. Oh, let's step back a little bit and give you the full beauty of this demo that I'm about to show you here. So I want to show you what our app looks like right now, so you know why we're adding the effect that we're adding. There it goes. We'll let that launch in the background. Okay, so you, there it goes. Sweet. Didn't have to kill time, always good. So this is our new iOS simulator. It's lovely. Our new iOS simulator for Windows. Okay, so this is actually, before when I showed you this app on Android, we were using design time data. We're going to use Azure in this example. This is actually live using Azure. Thanks, Adrian Hall, for that. And OK, so we have the first page of our Coffee Appreciator app. And then we go to the next page. And one of the things that is weird in the UI, at least right now, for iOS is that you know, I can enter my name here, and I see this entry. But I don't see that I can put notes in here. I don't see where they go. Right? It's a little bit harder to see. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to add a background color to this editor control to make it stand out against the background so that I, the user, can then see that that I can type into space. And the thing is that if I add it just to the editor, but I don't add it to the entry, it's going to look a little weird, right? My user doesn't need to know that these are two different controls. They just need to see that there's a place where you write a short string and a place where you write a long string. And they're both things where you put text, right? So I want to add a background color to both. But I don't want to have to do it to go set that individually on each one. So instead, I'm going to create an effect that is going to change the background color. And I'm going to add it to each of those controls. All right, so let's see that. So this is my background color effect. And as you can see, so again, we're overriding, or we're subclassing the platform effect. And then we're overriding onAttached and onDetached here. And nothing's happening in the cleanup, so we don't have to do it. And in onAttached, all we're doing is changing the control background color to this nice light gray. Oh, and of course, we have our two attributes set at the top here, our resolution group name and the export attribute. All right. It's hiding. So great. Let's consume this. So in the XAML.cs file for my add coffee page, I should show you how I'm accessing these. So I have an entry with the name of entry. Highlight. There we go. I have an entry with the name of entry here and an editor with the name of description. So I'm going to add the effect to both of them. Oh, I know why, because that simulator is running. That should be everything it needs to find the effect. We'll do the same thing for great. So now we've added the effect. As we run this, what we should see is a light gray background on both the entry and the editor. Okay. There it is. So we'll say coffee. We'll add it. And if all is fine, we should be able to see it right away. Great. So that is effects in a nutshell. And you should use them because they're an easier way to customize your app. And again, this is a very basic example, but there's other really wonderful things you can do with it. You should go check it out. So plugins, the last thing I want to recommend for you to save yourself time. Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Minions. All right, now we got it. The last thing I want to recommend to you to save yourself time is to use plugins, or to put it another way, go steal things that other people have made for you, because we want you to. And there's just so much existing stuff that you can pull into your app to speed up development. And so in terms of plugins, there's quite a few. We're actively working on bringing you a lot more. And they come from two places. There's many from Xamarin, which we maintain pretty well. And there's also some from the community. And if you're part of the community, please write some. We would love to have more of your plugins in there. And they're available in NuGet, at least ours are. And they're also available on GitHub. And of course, yeah, write your own. And I have to say that a huge chunk of our plugins are by James Montemagno, because when it comes to Xamarin Forms, James is a god among mortals. So just to give you a sense, this little app that I've been working on, it uses a whole bunch of plugins and a whole bunch of sort of pre-written things for me, which meant that I had to do way less work to do it. It's using connectivity in order to know, since it's using Azure, it's using connectivity in order to notify us when we're offline and online. We're using settings, which is gives you a settings plugin, which gives you cross-platform access to all of your different settings. We're using that to keep track of some of the things we need for Azure syncing. And messaging, Forms comes with messaging. It lets you send simple strings between different parts of your app, so that just makes it easier to get information from one place to the next. But this is a even more simplified, easier to use form of messaging. Plus, it also lets you create dialogues. So I'm using some error dialogues that I make are built with this, and it's nice. It's just really simple. And of course, the cross-platform media plugin for taking photographs. And Circle Image is also a plugin, a custom control that you can get. So, and in fact, the basis of this app, the sort of first thing that we started with, this is for Evolve, but it's evolved since then. It's actually James's Coffee Cups app, which was a demo for Azure and Auth. And so I sort of took that and played around with it, and I made it my own. And I think that's another really great thing to do is I love the idea of rich templates, like things that you can start with that already have things added in there for you, so that you're not starting from scratch and you're not you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. So yeah, you should absolutely do it. And in the spirit of sharing your work, I'm also going to release the code for this appreciator. Not right away, but when it's done, because I'm still working on it. OK. So we started earlier today by saying that Forms is like the electric coffee grinder of mobile app development. And so far, we've been talking a lot about building things fast, right? And that's important. It's good to save time. But the real beauty of Forms is that you don't have to sacrifice quality. So just like you can still make a great cup of coffee with your electric grinder, you can still build apps that are good, that people like using. For example, this is an app by one of our customers in Sweden. They're called SMS Lifesaver. When a cardiac arrest happens anywhere, it happens around in your area if you're in Stockholm, and you're certified and able to, you know, do the things you do to like not let people die, it shows you the location of the person who's in trouble and also shows you all the defibrillators that are on your route, which is pretty sweet. And this is all built using Xamarin Forms. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is that Xamarin Forms doesn't just save you time. Xamarin Forms saves lives. Now, Forms isn't right in every single scenario. It's great, but it's really great for a lot of things. And think about it, the time and the budget that you save in the actual implementation and the code writing part, it can be used for other parts of the development life cycle, like testing your app and prototyping your app and designing your app. And it can make some, you can take something and you can put these resources into it and make it better. These are all the things that make your app good. So when you ask yourself, why should I learn this new thing, whether that be forms in general or a feature maybe that you haven't used yet, I always say that the payoff is worth it. Because down the road, it'll save you, you know, maybe you'll get back a month or a day or even a half hour. And that's a half hour that I can spend at a lake house with my friends, grinding coffee beans by hand, because I can. And to me, that's a win-win.